Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service, presents the Rotary Golden Theater. More than 8,000 Rotary clubs in 89 countries throughout the world are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, an organization fostering the ideal of service in personal, business, and community life, and working for the advancement of international understanding, goodwill, and peace through a world fellowship of business and professional men. In observance of its golden anniversary and as a public service, Rotary International brings you the Rotary Golden Theater. As we enter the Rotary Golden Theater, the bright lights blaze forth the title of the drama we are about to see, Honor Among Thieves. We take our seats. The curtain rises on the impressive but comfortable living room of the Harry Murchison home. Mr. Murchison, proprietor of one of Middle City's leading department stores, looks inquiringly at his wife as she finishes a telephone conversation.
Well?
Well, it was Mr. Gourley, Harry. The committee's going to call on you at 8 o'clock tonight, and he thought you should have some warning of their visit.
They'll want an answer. But, Martha, I'm hanged if I know what to say.
Well, Middle City needs some honest men in politics. You'd make a wonderful mayor.
It would be a big job. Take lots of time.
But it would mean prestige, too, Harry. In spite of all the modernizing you've done and the beautiful new building, too many people in Middle City think Freeland's is a better store than yours.
I know. I've never been able to understand it.
Well, anyway, you owe it to the town to run for mayor. If somebody doesn't do something, Frank Cagle and his henchmen are going to take over. Why, Cagle and his hoodlums practically run things now.
That's not all. Martha, the fantastic sums that go into Cagle's gambling resorts are diverted from legitimate channels. That money should be spent on clothing and food, the honest necessities. Middle City's charity burden could probably be cut in half if Cagle and scum of his ilk were driven out.
You don't suppose that... Oh, no, it's only 7 o'clock. Couldn't be the committee from the Reform Party.
Probably someone else giving me an advance warning of what to expect. Mm. I guess I might as well see who it is.
Okay.
Why, aren't you a...
Yes, Frank Cagle. And this is Eddie Latta. I guess you recognize him from the newspapers. They call him my bodyguard, but Eddie's really my right-hand man.
Yeah, pleased to meet you, Mr. Murchison. I've been a customer at your store a lot of times.
But
aren't
what...
you going to invite us in? We've got a lot to talk about, Mr. Murchison. Right, Eddie?
Right, Frank.
Oh, but really, I...
Come on in, Eddie.
Hey, sure.
Harry, should I call the police?
Police? Well, you must believe what you read about me in the papers, Mrs. Murchison. Don't worry. We're here to talk to your husband about a strictly legitimate business proposition.
If you think you can keep him from running for mayor, you've got...
Oh, you've got me all wrong, Mrs. Murchison. This is a free country. We might even like to have your husband run for mayor.
I wouldn't even discuss it with you, Cagle, private or otherwise.
Well, now, Mr. Murchison, a good businessman doesn't turn down a proposition until he's heard about it. How about that, Eddie?
Right, Frank.
Now, if you'll just ask the little lady to leave us alone for 10 or 15 minutes...
But I...
You'd better do like I say, Mrs. Murchison.
I... Very well.
There's nothing to worry about, Martha.
You know, women always make me nervous when I'm talking over a deal. Well, Murchison, we can get down to business now.
What business?
The business of making you Mr. Middle City.
I don't understand.
You're going to be the next mayor of Middle City, Mr. Murchison. With my boys and the Reform Committee both back of you, there's no way we can miss.
I suppose you think I'll countenance all of your illegal operations out of gratitude for your help. Is that it?
Something like that.
Then you couldn't be more mistaken. I might as well be blunt, Cagle. I'm against you and everything you stand for.
You know, you say that like you really meant it. Fine. That'll sound great to the Reform people. It'll get votes.
I mean every word of it.
Oh, now, Mr. Murchison, we're alone. Let's be honest with each other.
I am honest, which is one reason why you and I could never get along.
You mean I run crooked gambling games?
That, among other things. Do you deny it?
Oh, no. Well, That leaves us even. What else?
Even?
Sure. You got that clipping from yesterday's Clarion, Eddie?
Right. Here it is, Frank.
Thank you. Special sale of men's suits. Values to $75 for only $39.50. That's your ad, Mr. Murchison.
What about it?
You mean you think that ad's honest?
Why isn't it? Quite a few of those suits sold for $75.
Look, Mr. Murchison, those $75 suits have been in your racks for 3 years. They're out of style. They aren't $75 values, not anymore. You've been stuck with those suits for a long time.
But do you think I look over every piece of advertising copy?
I think that your boys wouldn't do anything unless they were pretty sure it'd be all right with you. The same as in my business. We had to get a little rough with one of your salesmen to persuade him to talk about those suits. He finally admitted they're not worth even $39.50 anymore.
Well, I didn't know about the ad or I'd have changed it.
Say, you try to fool yourself right along with your customers, don't you? A traveling salesman lost $100 in one of my dice games last Saturday night. And it didn't bother him, because he said this $100 was a gift from you.
A gift for what?
A gift for seeing that you got a shipment of hard-to-get merchandise that your competitors don't have. The salesman called it a gift. In my business, we call a thing like that a bribe. When we can't get what we want, we grease a few palms with bribe money.
Well, my first duty is to my customers, not my competitors. I have to give people who patronize my store the things they want.
Oh, so do we. And the bribe money we pay comes out of our customers' pockets eventually. Where does your bribe money come from?
Oh, there's no point to all this. If you think I do business with
gangsters...
During
the war, one of my boys sold you 2 or 3 nice shipments of black market nylons. You bought sugar from us.
Not for general sale to the public.
How about automobile tires?
Oh, just for a few old customers, personal friends.
We've got personal friends in our business, too, Mr. Murchison. Don't tell me you didn't know you were dealing with racketeers when you bought those tires.
There was no other way to get them.
You helped to keep us in business by buying from us. You showed your approval of our kind of operations.
I did no such thing. I'm against you and everything you do.
Don't make me laugh. Why, it'd be the easiest thing in the world to run us out of business. If you really wanted to do it, just quit doing business with us. You know, if every so-called honest person in Middle City would refuse to spend any money with us, we'd be broke inside of a year. Oh, but that's neither here nor there. Why, with you in the mayor's office, we could make a great team.
Well, I tell you, I'm no crook. I may have driven some hard bargains. I may have been overly shrewd in some of my dealings.
Overly shrewd? That's a laugh. Why, even my wife knows that you've got 3 prices in your women's ready-to-wear department. A first price, a little lower price, and a rock-bottom price. That's not only dishonest. It's dumb. How about it, Eddie?
Right, Frank.
Why, even the fences who sell stolen merchandise for my boys have more sense than that. You know, Murchison, we could teach you a lot.
I dare say.
Yeah, and we could help you too, Mr. Murchison.
You help me?
Sure. You keep the town wide open for us and we'll, what's that word you said, Frank?
We'll reciprocate.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, say you've got a competitor who's making things tough for you. We could take care of him. Maybe see to it that he has an accident.
You're out of your mind.
Don't you knock your competitors to your customers?
Well, sometimes. But that's not seeing to it that they have a physical injury.
Same idea. Did you ever offer a manufacturer an extra large order if he'd quit selling your competitor? Did you ever ask for a special discount that your competitor didn't get?
Yes. But that's not...
That's trying to hurt your competitors in the pocketbook. If we want to get rid of a competitor, we give him a physical beating. Our way's faster.
Right.
You see, Murchison, we have more in common than you realized. We could work together real well. There's only one thing that bothers me, though.
What's that?
Your attitude. You've got to realize that there's honor among thieves. We have to be honest with each other.
You'd want an agreement of some kind.
Sure. There's no more reason for you to trust me than there is for me to trust you.
This whole idea is preposterous. I can't believe that it's happening to me. The answer is a flat no, Cagle.
I was afraid you might be hard to handle. You know, you're smarter than I thought. Okay, Murchison, you win. We'll put $5,000 into your campaign fund right now.
You think I'd sell my honor for $5,000?
Why not? You're willing to do it to make a sale on a 39.50 suit.
Yes, perhaps I was, but not anymore. I suppose, in a peculiar way, I owe you a debt of gratitude, Cagle. You've made me see myself in a way that, well, isn't very attractive. Now, would you mind leaving?
Sure, but don't act so high and mighty about it, Murchison. Maybe you can fool yourself, but you've never fooled me. Not for a second. Come on, Eddie.
Right.
A lot in common. We think the same way. Martha. Oh, Martha.
Have they gone?
Yes. But not without leaving something.
Harry, you didn't let them bribe you.
No. But, Martha, they left me a real lesson. Do you realize that I've been doing things in business that made them think of me as a kindred spirit?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. But I'm cleaning up my trade practices, Martha, at once. And they also told me, without realizing it, how to clean up theirs.
But how?
By leading people in refusing to do business with them or other gangsters like them. It's as simple as that.
But it's absolutely preposterous for them to think of you as sympathetic to their ideas.
I'm sorry, dear, but it isn't preposterous. And my competitors must see the same things in me that Cagle saw. I'm sure Dan Freeland does. Although he's too much of a gentleman to say so.
Well, what makes you think Dan Freeland regards you as unethical?
Well, Dan was in to see me last week.
Yes?
Oh, he was nice enough, but he said he's been appointed to the Buyer-Seller Relations Committee of the Rotary Club.
Well, the Rotary Club has always been one of his major interests. Why should that make you think that
Dan said he thought all three Middle City department stores should get together and work out a code of sound buyer-seller relationships.
Well, what does that mean?
Oh, truthfulness in advertising. Honesty in all dealings with customers. Fairness in granting discounts. Fair price policies. A good many things.
But was he inferring that you're dishonest?
Well, I'm sure he wasn't, but I told him I was too busy and that I didn't see where we needed to get together.
But, Harry, I don't see what all this has to do with your running for mayor.
Look, it has everything to do with it. To be an honest leader, I must be honest with myself.
But, Harry, you've never been deliberately dishonest. You haven't intended to do anything wrong. And certainly the thing that Cagle accused you of was a minor thing.
Well, is a man less dishonest if he takes a pair of shoes than if he takes a suit and an overcoat? Look, Cagle got into power because of indifference toward petty dishonesty. He's been able to build from petty larceny to major felonies.
But you keep comparing yourself with Cagle. That's fantastic.
Is it? I'm not so sure. He accused me of deliberately closing my eyes against the unethical practices in my store. And he was right.
Harry, aren't you taking this visit of Cagle's much too seriously?
No, I must face reality, Martha. To be an honest leader, I must practice and believe in the things Dan Freeland's Rotary Club Committee is working to get. In addition to cleaning up the city, I'll have to clean up my own store.
Oh, that must be Mr. Gourley in the Civic Reform Committee at the door. What are you going to tell them?
Whatever I tell them, Martha, you may be sure of one thing.
What?
Both my decision and my subsequent actions will be honorable.
And so the curtain falls on the play Honor Among Thieves, presented by the Rotary Golden Theater as a public service in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Rotary International, a world fellowship of business and professional men with a common ideal of service.